This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
All right, so you heard there Anthony Fauci, the top doc, taking it all in, talking about masking. It's interesting because there seems to be a let-up, and that's part of what we're going to talk about this time around on the show this hour. We're going to hit the mailbag and a couple of the usual haunts that we visit. But COVID, yes, we are looking to get closer to the light at the end of the tunnel, yet people aren't necessarily paying attention. You know, you look at this bike rally that's underway through the weekend in Florida, and it's expected to draw more than 300,000 people. It's a 10-day deal. Normally, really awesome. I like watching all the bikes, too. I get it. In fact, I've been through it when I've been through Daytona. But Bike Week in Daytona includes concerts, races, bike shows, you name it. And it's supposed to end on Sunday. Typically, you could get 500,000 people for the 10 days, but because of COVID, it's down a little bit less. But 300,000, imagine that. The thing that's happened is it's great for the hotels, it's great for the restaurants, it's bad for COVID and the possible spread. As we, again, we get closer to the light at the end of the tunnel. How are you dealing with the tail end of this pandemic? Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us here on these airwaves, whether you're listening to us in the States or somewhere abroad. Like I said, this is always the major conversation. Go anywhere. And, of course, there is some bit of what you will say that will lead back to masking, not masking. Did you get the shots? How about your family? Is everybody safe? Every conversation that I have, I don't care what flag the person flies, whether it's Democrat, Republican, Independent, or none of the above, no labels, always people tell me to be safe. And how safe are you? How about Alaska? Alaska is the first state to remove eligibility requirements for the vaccine. Stimulus cash is getting ready to flow while all of that is going on, too, because now kicking it back from the House to the president's desk within a matter of days, and then it's a question of if you are eligible or not. Again, part of what COVID has brought to us here in the United States and other parts. As far as deaths in the U.S., we now have from Johns Hopkins University the numbers, 527,000 deaths out of 29.2 million cases. Worldwide, 2.6 million, 117 million cases. It does feel like some of the hospitalizations are down, and they are, but again, the concern is about the swell. And now there are some interesting things happening between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, including the vaccinated parties that are happening. all around the world. In China, they're issuing health passports so that people can travel. Only 3.6% of the population, of course, there are billions in China, have been vaccinated. But if you are vaccinated in China, you can travel. In Israel, they are sort of opening up and getting back to life after a long, long break, obviously, and part of that is the vaccination. So with the vaccination campaigns, people are taking a part and going out full force, so to speak, and things are starting to loosen up in many countries, especially in East Asia and Oceania and all that kind of stuff, where the infection rates are down to zero. And in Tel Aviv, it is definitely a celebratory kind of, they say, surreal environment, almost bordering on reckless. And that's what I wonder about some in the United States. Are you bordering on reckless? And what's it for? Because we are oh so, 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 so close. All right, I can't bail out of this segment as we kick things off and not give you the skinny completely on the big stimulus. Congress gives the final green light of the $1.9 trillion coronavirus stimulus package on Wednesday. So that sets in motion the effort to logistically administer one of the biggest economic relief packages in U.S. history. Over the next couple of weeks, the Biden administration may send another time of one-time checks to millions of families. And, you know, it's interesting because you look at how many Americans are cash-strapped and how desperately they need that money. The millions without jobs, lots of people that are still cratering in that hole, that rabbit hole of how do we get out of this. So $1,400 stimulus, that's the number. We keep saying it over and over again. I feel like a parrot sometimes, but it's supposed to happen before the end of March. And then there's a new child tax support chunk of money that would happen. There's also money to local governments and money to help families pay rent, that kind of stuff. And the congressional aid packages became law over the past year. We know that. And they have been instrumental, I think, and in helping the country rebound from one of the worst economic crises we've seen since the Great Depression. I don't agree with everything that's in these packages that have gone down the pike. And then you wonder about the debt. However, I worry about the people more on the other end of this. So some Americans have benefited greatly from the past stimulus checks. They've been able to piece things together and get through to the other side. And I think this will do the very, very same thing. The idea is to get you to the other side, whatever that looks like for you. Whatever it looks like. Because that, my friends, is the key, is to get to the light, like I said at the top, at the end of the tunnel. And, oh, it will be so bright. And we can actually hug and not have to do air hugs and not have to do elbow bumps. We can actually feel like you can touch a fellow human being. Imagine that. Many of you still on the kick of mask on, mask off. We're talking about it next as we hit the mailbag.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, here we are in the midst of all this mail. You can hit me up 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Let's go to this one first. This is from Joseph, who is listening to us in New Orleans, and he says, Kate, what happened to that nasty cop in his trial, Derek something or other, that's going on in Minneapolis? I am definitely pro-cop and the boys in blue. In fact, so many of my family are cops, but even they think Derek, whatever his name is, should be thrown away and throw the key out the window, so to speak. Yeah, this jury selection, so I think that's what we were talking about. So jury selection, now they've got, that's what's going on. They've got three jurors seated, and the cop's name is the Minneapolis cop who is accused of killing George Floyd is Derek Chauvin. And those haunting eyes, right? Those incredible 9 minutes. And it is a painstakingly long process, I think, this case is going to be and should be, because imagine questioning jurors about their knowledge of this case. Who does not know this case? Who does not know it? And trying to get an impartial jury. I mean, that is our system. So three jurors seated. A couple of them were struck down, and, you know, this continues to roll on Wednesday. And Chauvin is charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter in the death of Floyd since last May. Prosecutors say that Floyd was killed by his knee compressed against his neck for those 9 minutes plus while he was handcuffed and pinned to the pavement, and the world was never the same. Opening statements, so this 3 weeks has been set aside to do this. Opening statements are scheduled for March 29th. So thanks for that question. All right, I got this in the mail, which was very, very nice, this card. And I hope she's listening. It's Barb Lewis, I think. It's funny, I can't read her last name, so I'm sorry if I'm butchering that, but it might be Lures. And Barb sent this from New Hampshire. We've got a great New Hampshire affiliate. And she said, I found your show accidentally, and I listen almost nightly. I'm an insomniac, and your topics entertain me. I'm interested in both sports and books. Your show has both with no raucous content. Thank you. And then she goes on to tell me about her family in various parts of Texas and says, sorry about your recent weather, and this is the part I love. And she was right. I would respectfully point out that Johns Hopkins University has an S on Johns, as that was the founder's first name. Blessings, Barb L. Thank you, Barb L., for being a listener and sending me such a pretty card. So that counts. That's the mailbag. A different mailbag. You know, all you have to do is go to my website. We've got the address there. You can send me anything that you want to send me. People send me some nice cards, and that was certainly a very, very nice one. All right, this one is from Hal, and Hal says, yo, Kate, I have to admit, I was highly entertained by your take on Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. I personally think they're kind of spoiled brats, but I do believe her when she says she was squeezed out in these different ways by the royal family. Why do they care? She's an American. She doesn't fit their mold. And whatever the establishment, the firm, the people who run the palace, they're not bowing down to her. They only serve the queen. So I feel for her on I need some help. I can't believe that they would not be able to get, or she would not be able to get, some kind of a psychologist, psychiatrist, or some counselor to the Duchess to work with her on whatever it was that was under her skin with the media, et cetera, and the coverage that she was getting in the UK. So they're better off there not being there anyway. All right. Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag with, you know, Piers Morgan actually quit his morning show because he's such a Meghan Markle basher that he was getting a bunch of hate mail, even though a lot of people also support what he says. And he walked off of his morning show and said, boom, I resign, I'm out. So there's been a lot of wild reaction to what was said in that Oprah Sunday night CBS interview, which got 17 million viewers. That's pretty big, 17 million. All right, let's move on to this one. The mask situation. This one is from Kurt. Kate, I hate the stinking mask. I hate them. And I was so anti-mask, and I was so mad at you for being Miss Mask. But I have to say, I lost a son-in-law to COVID. He wasn't chubby. He didn't have any underlying conditions or any of the things people keep talking about. It was the most damn depressing day, perhaps, of my life. After that, I decided that it was better to wear a mask and social distance and do all the other things that have been talked about, and that's exactly what my family and I have done. So I would tell anyone, while we are so close to perhaps, as you say, the other side of the mountain or the end of the tunnel, this is the time that you want to be more diligent, because why the hell not? Let's get out of this alive. You don't want to lose someone close to you like I did. Sorry for your loss. It is so sad, the stories. I mean, you look at the number, and when you think we have over 300 million people, but it's well over 500,000 that died, many people who would be alive still, even if they had underlying conditions, right? Aches, pains, arthritis, these things, you know, all kinds of things that you would have as you're aging, but you would still be alive. And every case was different, of course, and every area was different, and the ways people got COVID-19 also was very, very different. All right, this one is from Joni, who says, Kate, the stimulus package, how much money are we just going to continue to throw down a hole that never, ever ends? My grandchildren, will inherit all of this debt that this country has? Will they ultimately pay for it? Will others pay for it with Social Security? Who ultimately knows? I do agree that people do need money in a pandemic. This is one of the worst things that we've ever seen. We cannot let our fellow human beings starve, live in a car, and have other horrible things happen to them when, even if the community reaches out, you can only do so much. There just should have been something better in place that could have worked. moving forward, let's hope there is something better in place. Did anybody think that a virus would do what it did to the entire world? No. I think, yes, there was always dangers of viruses, remember Ebola, all that stuff, and things that could happen and worries about that, concerns about it. But to the extent and to the length of time, I really, really don't think so. All right, let's move on. So thanks for that. I concur. Let's move over to this one. This one is from Carter. Carter is listening to us in New York via Connecticut. We have a great affiliate in Connecticut. Carter says, Kate, oh, it is so funny what's happening to Cuomo. I've never been a Cuomo fan. I am a card-carrying Republican. I, however, have voted for some Democrats in the past that I have liked. But when I look at Cuomo talking out of both sides of his mouth, you said he was a hero in the beginning, all of the news conferences he held about how great New York was doing, and in the meantime, they were killing seniors. I'll tell you what, there was a huge piece of literature I saw that had Cuomo's book, where his book is going to be American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. And what it said on the other side was Cuomo writes books rather than apologizing. And he has not apologized. And people that lost loved ones because the coronavirus was introduced into nursing homes are furious about what's happened at these long-term care facilities and the numbers that were covered up. You know, it's interesting. I didn't even think about, thanks for pointing that out, that he does have in his book, American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. On one of the pages, he writes that New York was number 46 out of 50 in the nation when it came to a percentage of deaths in nursing homes. And obviously, I don't think that's true if you look at now what's happened. Wow. I bet there's a lot of people that really, really want to see Cuomo go. We're skedaddling from the mailbag and the mailroom. Mic drop coming up.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The House is expected to vote on a $1.9 trillion COVID relief package on Wednesday. The bill passed a procedural hurdle Tuesday evening, clearing the way for its anticipated passage. President Biden says he'll sign the bill as soon as he gets it. He had pushed lawmakers to pass the bill before March 14th, when federal unemployment benefits would expire. Senator Joe Manchin says the changes that the Senate made to the bill last week came with input from Republicans, despite not a single GOP senator voting for the measure. The West Virginia Democrat told Fox News that he understands his colleagues' hesitancy over the bill's price tag, but adds that the bill will help people in his state.
The bill at the end at 1.9 was more than what they could go. I understand that and respect that. But it was a bill that, in my state, helped so many people in so many different ways. And at the end, when we were able to make a few adjustments here and there, it was a bill that I could support.
This is USA Radio News. Starting Wednesday, Texans will no longer have to wear masks in public places, and businesses will be allowed to open up to full capacity. Governor Greg Abbott announced last week he was lifting those restrictions. But health experts say that with the UK variant of the virus rapidly spreading, it's too soon to remove all restrictions. Dr. Amesh Adalja is an infectious disease expert at Johns Hopkins University, and tells CBS News that states that want to open up businesses should leave their mask mandates in place.
So I think if you're going to increase capacity at restaurants and stores, you need to keep the mask mandate in place, the way states like Connecticut and Massachusetts have done. Masks are going to be with us for some time until we get enough people vaccinated that we don't have to worry about community transmission. We're going to get there. So I would urge states that are opening up, go ahead and do that, but keep the mask mandate in place, because we know that that's going to make all of that reopening much safer. And businesses that are in places where there is not a mask mandate, they should keep their employees, keep their customers wearing masks, because it makes it safer from a business operations standpoint.
This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Tired of that song. Never. Hello, hello, everyone. Thanks again so much for kicking off Hump Day, because it's kind of getting into Hump Day for most people. You know, once you hit Wednesday, it's like the slide, and then the slide up again, I think. All right, nothing about sliding here. It's just about history. Katie Couric made some history. What did Katie Couric do? Somehow she reinvents herself, right? She was the queen of the Today Show and did so well on that, and then did the nightly news, then bounced out of that to do her own show. And now she can claim she's the first woman ever to host Jeopardy. Yeah. So she was the host on International Women's Day, and it was kind of mixed reviews, but she definitely, you know, I saw bits and pieces of it. It looks fine to me. She is part of a lineup of guests that are standing at the podium following in the footsteps of Alex Trebek. Very hard to fill those shoes, who died last November from pancreatic cancer. And one of the questions was, in 2021, this groundbreaking journalist and co-founder of Stand Up to Cancer became the first woman to guest host Jeopardy. The answer? Who is Katie Couric? Mic drop. Yeah, so, I mean, good for her. She did it. You know, it wouldn't be easy to necessarily do Jeopardy. I think because Alex Trebek had a way with the way he looked at people and the way he ran the show, that he was, the wise man, and nobody could be as wise as Alex. And he fit that, you know, uber kind of nerdy role, meaning, like, I have a big brain, and no, you got that question wrong. It almost like he would look at people and, like, you got to be kidding. You don't know that question? And I don't think he was shaming them. It was just that he had that way about him where he could pull it off. You know, he was the right fit for Jeopardy. So, you know, she did Jeopardy. She's going to host, there was like fake Jeopardy stories, and there's a thing that was pumped out there that she was going to host 10 episodes of Jeopardy, but good for her to do that. And like I said, they're not going to have a permanent host until the show begins its 38th season, and that happens in syndication in September. So look for Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers to be one of those guest celebrity hosts and jump in. But I think it's a pretty good mic drop moment. Here would be a little quick trivia question for you. Did anyone else host Jeopardy besides Alex Trebek? I mean, do it besides all these fill-ins, you know, and since he got sick. And the answer would be yes. There was somebody that hosted before he did, Arthur Fleming. He was the host, and he was popular in his own right. He was the host of Jeopardy in the beginning, and he fit like Trebek, and that aired from 64 to 75, so he was there for a while too. And now it's who's going to be the next one that permanently fills that role. Coming up, we got a special treat for you. Eric Wolf is stopping by, and I'll explain Eric Wolf here in a second. He, I think, is a young, brilliant author of this book that he has his, I guess, finger on the pulse of politics in a different way, of not the you're on this team and I'm on that team way. And he's designed this poll, this quiz, it's really a quiz, that matches you up with somebody in history. And I don't want to give it all away, but again, that's coming up around the corner. But before we get there, there's a couple of odds and ends that are pretty important that I want to hit up. And that includes the fact that, you know, I talked about vaccinations at the top, and in this country, we're almost at 25% of the adult population being vaccinated. That's pretty high compared to, like, China that I mentioned. It's just slightly over 3%. And then, of course, there's these events that are happening that there's concern for possible super spreading when we're so close, but not there yet. And one of them is the big bike rally in Daytona Beach, which normally attracts a lot of people, and it still is attracting a lot of people, not quite the numbers that were there before. And we're not done with pulling apart what happened on January 6th at the Capitol. You know, speaking of Eric coming on, and a judge ruled today that the QAnon shaman, you know who he is, I mean, you see him in so many pictures, Jacob Chansley, he's the self-proclaimed QAnon shaman, and he participated at that riot. He will not be released from jail ahead of his trial. A federal judge said that on Monday. So Judge Royce Lamberth argued that Chansley's statements holding former President Trump accountable for his alleged illegal entry into the Capitol building showed that he was unremorseful about his actions. And he ruled specifically this is what he said. This is a quote. The court finds that no condition or combination of conditions of release will reasonably assure the defendant's appearance as required in court or the safety of others and the community. He faces multiple charges stemming from that assault, including violent entry and obstruction of an official proceeding. He was one of the most well-known supporters of the QAnon conspiracy to appear at the Capitol that day and left supposedly a note for former Vice President Mike Pence vowing justice if the election results were not overturned. And, of course, hundreds of people have been arrested so far, suspected of involvement in the riot. And they're still looking, the FBI, for hundreds more, pumping out pictures on social media and having people look at video of the pipe bombs that were planted. There was three of them, and they have more that's being released of that. But they, on that video that they have, and trying to figure out who that person is, but they haven't had any luck, obviously, because there's been a great big push to have that happen. And so far, no go. In California, Gavin Newsom is under fire, and that's not a surprise because of what's happening economically there and what's happening with the coronavirus and all of that. So during his State of the State address on Tuesday, he defended his response to the pandemic and took aim at critics amid this recall effort to oust him. And it's a big recall effort. Organizers said over the weekend they've gathered 1.95 million signatures in support of the recall more than a week ahead of the March 17th deadline. And guess what? Only 1.5 million signatures are needed. But hundreds of thousands more are expected to be submitted with the expectation that some will be invalidated, because that's why they're trying to get that many. And that's more than enough to be able to have the initiative qualified for a special election later in the year to let the people decide what's going to happen with the fate of the and the future of the California governor, Newsom. So the recall effort could work, because there's a lot of frustrations, certainly among Republicans, over Newsom's restrictions, mainly against gatherings and business closures. And it got pretty hot in November when the governor was spotted, oh yeah, maskless, at a restaurant celebrating the birthday of a political advisor, which would be in violation of his administration's own guidance. So it's unclear which way this will go. And it's pretty difficult to unseat a governor in a recall election. 2003 was the last year a governor in the state was booted. And you know who replaced him, right? I'll be back. That's your hint. Since then, California's only turned bluer, with registered Democrats outnumbering Republicans by nearly a 2-to-1 margin. But there are also some Democrats who are furious with this governor. And in his primetime address, he defended his response big time to the virus, talking about, among other things, an early stay-at-home order. And that kind of move is what has pushed, I think, so many of the Republicans to try to get him recalled and replaced. And of course, he's been highlighting the decrease in daily cases from 53,000 at the state's peak to just over 3,800 on Sunday, an 80% drop in hospitalizations. But like I said, it might be tough for Newsom. I think he does narrowly escape this, but if they find enough Democrats vote in the other direction, perhaps, you know, his fate will be sealed. And like I said, that's only happened once before, recently, 2003. All right, coming up next, speaking of politics, looking at it from a different perspective, kind of reverse engineering it, Eric Wolf coming up.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Joining me now this time around in Author's Corner is Eric Wolf. He is in our virtual green room, and we had an interesting off-air conversation about this book he's written and the direction that he's headed in. And I think this is a test you want to take. The political personality test, the evolution of political thought. Eric, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about your history. What was it that led you to start to question things, to be sort of in the thick of it, as I like to say?
Well, I was in high school, and I was talking to a teacher, and the teacher told me that the political spectrum wasn't a very good way to calibrate where everybody's ideology was. And he then explained to me that there was no real good depiction of it. And I, being the brash 16-year-old that I was, decided to take this on and spent the next 16 years doing research, talking with professors when I went through college, and developing a spectrum that I then went back to that teacher and showed him. And he said, that's exactly what I've been looking for all these years.
Wow, so 16 years of research, and you were digging. And, you know, you see, and you and I talked about this, you have the left, you have the right, and you have this amazing deep divide, right?
Yes, it was 6 years. Sorry, I just want to make sure that.
Six.
Yes, sorry. The left and the right really only works in terms of the two-party divide. It doesn't really work in terms of all the ideologies that people bring to the table for the reason why they come up with this. So there's so much more out there than just the two choices, and there are so many different ideological positions, and they can all have a lot in common and a lot of differentials between them, and they really only get pulled apart when there's only two choices and you have to pick whichever party you agree with, and you may agree with them 51% of the time or 99% of the time if you're lucky. but we have a lot more in common with each other. And but then we start to feel this massive divide that we're experiencing in our country because there's only two choices and they pit us against each other.
Yeah, and so that was the impetus of you doing this, like you said, at 16, 6 years, and coming up with the fact that, yeah, you don't have to, it's not a Coke and Pepsi world. There are other choices. So you try to come up with, and you did, a non-biased test. But how difficult was it to come up with that test?
Well, the test wasn't actually that difficult. I come from a very political family. We have a lot. We have a very open discussion atmosphere. People bring their different ideals. And I would see multiple members of my family who had all the same party affiliation, and they had totally different arguments, totally different reasoning. So when people start getting into the us and them debate and talking about, oh, this side is stupid or this side is evil, and some of the much darker arguments that people have with personal attacks against one party or the other, I don't see that because I see it in my own family, and it's kind of hard to be against somebody that you know personally. So I just approached it from that angle of I wanted to make it a test with results that wouldn't push you into any ideology, but also wouldn't be judgmental for your ideology. So there's no extremes like fascism or communism, because that's not applicable to the majority of people.
Yeah, you came up with something called the matrix. Explain the political matrix.
Well, I divided political ideology into multiple spectrums and combine them to form essentially a chart that can give you certain aspects of what you believe into a personality type. So there's your government makeup, your social issues, and then foreign policy as well. And it's really just boiling down what they're talking about in the political spectrum to their very finer points and giving it a much more diverse realm of choices.
Yeah, you know what I like that you said in going down that direction is you said government isn't about ideals or positions, but it does play a part. You say the majority of political ideology is about people whom you agree with, people whom you connect with, and you say, but it's completely void of explanation. And you say that was the final straw, and that's how you decided to build this whole thing out and look at what you call a political matrix and think about a country and think about the founding fathers. And what did you find with the founding fathers? What did you find out there, and then with, of course, some of the more current presidents?
The founding fathers provide a very good basis for the beginning of our political ideology, because their debates were much more simplistic. It was about centralized power versus state power, and we didn't really get into, because capitalism and socialism had really been formalized as an ideology around that time, that really wasn't a debate. There wasn't much of a economic debate, or these a lot of social issues were kind of put on the back burner. It kind of sets a starting point for these ideologies to then grow from, and as well in the European community with democratization, that it allows us to build a more complete political ideological picture
the beginning. And so in building that and looking at your matrices and all the work that went into this the idea of this test and then rolling out the test, what happens when somebody takes the test?
Well, when they take the test, they will be given a personality type result the similar design of any other personality test. What's different is this one is a political ideology. They'll be given a history of where their ideology kind of formulated. And they'll, at the very end of it, they'll be given two people from history that they can, that held the same, a similar ideology to theirs. So you're not connected to a party. This isn't to tell you who to vote for. It's to give you a kind of great peers from history who held similar beliefs to yourself.
I love that. So for you, who was yours?
I have not taken the test. I adopt an apolitical persona for the book in that I'm not on anybody's side. If you get whatever result you get, it's completely non-judgmental, and I'm not against you. I'm just here to help.
I love that. I've taken the test, but I'm going to reveal it on the air. So you, and your questions are like, should voting require a test? And you have great, you know, choices. Yes, everyone should take a test to vote or run for office. Your grade should determine what you can vote for. Yes, you should have up-to-date knowledge, B, on who you're voting for. And then it goes on further down. And you really cover the gamut. You talk about search and seizure. You talk about how should the federal government be structured. You talk about all kinds of things in this test. What was the most revealing thing to you in doing all this research and coming up with this?
That all of my family who are Republicans and all my family and friends who are Democrats, family and friends who are Republicans as well, did not get the same result. They all approached it from, so it confirmed my theory that the real thing that's only holding us together is that each, these two parties have just enough, they've covered enough of their bases that they can get all of these different personality types to agree with them just on the basis of, well, I agree with this one 51% of the time compared to the 49% I disagree with them, so I have to vote for them. So if we had more choices, we might be able to move forward and actually get somewhere and get a better picture of what everybody wants. It's just we have this system. The system is what's breaking us apart and stagnating our country. It's got nothing to do with the people. The people aren't as divided. It's the system itself.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. It's brilliant. Eric Wolf, the political personality test, the evolution of political thought. It didn't take him 16 years because he's so smart to put together. It took six.
No.
But take that test seriously. Take this test and you will maybe be surprised by the results, but I think you'll learn a lot for sure. Eric, thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show, Make It Count.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.